Leading consultant psychiatrists have described the number of young people presenting with self-harm to the emergency departments of children's hospitals. Professor Mary Cannon and Dr. Michelle Hill are heading up the newly established Faculty of Youth and Student Psychiatry at the College of Psychiatrists of Ireland, and they warn of a hidden epidemic of youth mental health issues. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined on the line by Professor Mary Cannon, who's consultant psychiatrist with Beaumont Hospital and the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. Professor Cannon, you're very welcome to Drive Time.
Hello, Cormac. Thank you for having me.
This is an extremely concerning issue that we've discussed a number of times or tried to discuss in this programme. What do you mean, though, Mary, by self-harm?
Self-harm is where, it's not just young people, but anyone can attempt to harm themselves, usually by taking an overdose or by cutting or other means of harming themselves. They would be the two commonest methods. It doesn't always indicate a suicide risk. It's often what we call a cry for help, but it does indicate high levels of distress.
And when you say, I don't know who said astronomical rise in the number of people presenting with self-harm, what do you mean by astronomical rise?
That was me.
Okay.
This is not new data, Cormac. We have data from 2006 to 2016 showing a 500% increase in presentations of young people with mental health issues to emergency departments of our children's hospitals. Mm-hmm. So this is something that was happening before the pandemic. Last year, there were 1,220 mental health presentations to the children's hospital emergency departments. It's what I mean by the fact is hidden epidemic is these presentations and these admissions, because often these young people are admitted, are not counted in mental health statistics. So we're not seeing them coming through in those kind of statistics. So, but it's there, and the children's hospitals and are dealing with huge levels of distress, self-harm, and other mental health presentations. Now, it's not just, of course, the children's hospitals. The adult hospitals are also seeing 16, 17, 18-year-olds. So they're also seeing increases in presentations for adolescents to their services.
I also gathered that there was some evidence from a survey carried out amongst transition year students as well that gave us an insight.
Yes, exactly. This is a study that I've been involved in called the Planet Youth Study, which was carried out in North Dublin, Cavan and Monaghan in October 21, where almost 4,000 transition year students were interviewed, surveyed, totally anonymous. But we found very striking levels of mental health difficulties and self-harm, where, you know, between 30 to 42% of the young people said that they had self-harmed at some point during their life. And very worryingly, about 10%, between 9 and 12%, said they had attempted suicide.
My God. Why is this happening, Mary? Do we know?
That's a really good question. We need to know more about this. I suppose what we should be looking at is for other factors that are increasing over this time period. We've been observing this, you know, very much since the millennium. I think substance use is an issue. A lot of these young people are using substances, and it's becoming more normalised. And as you know, alcohol, cannabis use, they're associated with mental health difficulties in young people. And of course, we need to talk about social media use, which is very prevalent, and particularly in young women, it can be associated with psychological difficulties. The other issues, I suppose, are related to pandemic in the lockdown, and we did see a spike in mental health presentations just before schools were reopening. Mm-hmm. There are school issues, academic issues. We're also interested in third level students. So there's the transition from second to third level. There's a number of issues, Cormac. We can't pinpoint one.
Okay, so I understand that. And the pandemic would be a big one, I'm sure, because we know that it affected an awful lot of people's mental health right across the board. But to try and explain the astronomical rise in self-harming, you would look, or would you, here's my question, would you look at what's most prevalent then? I mean, would you look at most people have a mobile phone and are on social media, and we know that affects people's self-esteem, or it induces anxiety in some people. Alcohol is very prevalent. What do you look at to explain the astronomical rise?
Well, we're you know, from this very valuable data set, we will be able to look at these issues. Now, it's very cross-sectional data, so what we also need to look is longitudinal data. So, for instance, the Growing Up in Ireland study. But, you know, the two things you pinpointed there, social media and substance use, have been on the increase since about, you know, particularly since the early 2010s, you know, about 2010, 2012. And I think, you know, we need to look at things, that factors that are changing as these figures are increasing, the self-harm figures and mental health distress figures. And it's not just mental health distress, it's mental health illness we're seeing. You know, in this survey I mentioned, you know, up to, particularly in young women, up to about a third of them had actually, would have reached criteria for a mental health disorder. So it's not just, these aren't just kind of symptoms. These are kind of illnesses we're seeing in these young people.
Really? My goodness. So if you're in charge of the health system, you would be ploughing more investment into child and adolescent mental health services right now to make sure that the service is there to meet this astronomical rise. Is that happening?
It's not, unfortunately. There's a lot of examination of child and adolescent mental health services, but there isn't the resources being put into it. We have, you know, our level of resourcing for mental health is only 5% actually of the mental health budget. It actually fell in real terms during the pandemic, compared to 12%, which is recommended by WHO and which is seen in other countries. So, you know, we have a long way to go. In the College of Psychiatrists, we are interested we're interested also in promoting the idea of youth psychiatry, which is right up to the mid-20s, because the problems don't stop at 18. And in fact, you know, young people in their early, late teens and early 20s are experiencing a lot of distress.
Are you telling me that there was an astronomical rise in the number of young people presenting with self-harming, but on the other side of it, there was a decrease in the investment? Yes. Is that right?
It's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, it's just the investment in health in general went up during the pandemic. Obviously, the government put money in, but it just didn't rise for mental health. It was mainly for the rest of the health budget. So, yeah, we need to catch up. We have a lot of catching up to do. We have currently the third lowest level of inpatient psychiatric beds in Europe per head of population. So we're lagging behind the rest of Europe
It's been like that for some time. Successive governments have been have had that failure on their report card.
It puts the whole system under pressure.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it's also difficult to recruit experts in this area, isn't it? As we've seen from various
times. It's very difficult. You know, we're in a kind of vicious cycle because the services are overstretched. People are getting burnt out. They're overworked. And so the recruitment is falling. It's hard to keep people in our specialty, in medicine in general, but particularly in our specialty. And at the same time, if the government wants to expand services, we need more people to be going into psychiatry and other allied mental health professionals. So, you know, it's hard to know. We have to stop blaming people. We have to start making it more pleasant to work in the mental health services so people will enjoy it. And, you know, we need to get back that enthusiasm and value our mental health workers.
Can I go back a few steps here, Professor Cannon? If you've just joined us, we're discussing with Professor Mary Cannon, consultant psychiatrist with Beaumont Hospital and the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, about the astronomical rise in the number of young people presenting with self-harming to emergency departments up and down the country. From the perspective of a parent, are there red flags that should be noted in terms of the path to self-harming? Because an awful lot of young people are full of vivacity and vibrancy and health, and then they start on this course down maybe alcohol or drug abuse or academic pressure or the pandemic and its effects or social media, whatever the case may be. Are there red flags that parents should be keen to look out for?
I'm not sure that there's a lot of flags. I'm not sure you call them red flags, but you know, your parents, you will know your child better than anyone else. And then you will know whether there's a change in behavior, whether this young person just has, as you say, lost their vivacity, lost their interest, lost their motivation, not wanting to go to school, not wanting to go out with their friends, seem to be spending a lot of time alone or in the room or online. And of course, substance use is also a red flag. The thing is to try and catch this early. But what we're up against here are issues of waiting lists and trying to access, you know, help quickly for young people, because, you know, a waiting list of 6 months to be seen by a mental health specialist is too long in the life of a 14 or 15 year old.
An awful lot of harm could be done in that time.
You can go from having a mild to moderate kind of mental health problems up to the more severe spectrum in that period. Mm-hmm. So we need to, have more urgent response. And to be honest, that's why people are going to the emergency departments. You will get seen and you will get an urgent response. It's just not in the ideal setting. And there isn't a long-term kind of treatment in the emergency departments. It's very much crisis-led.
Can I bring you some of the texts that we're getting to 51551? D says, does concern for the climate cause mental health issues for young people?
It's going to be an issue, I think, in the future. We're not seeing it at the moment as, particularly in people presenting to the emergency departments. But it is there. I think we need to keep an eye on this, and we don't have enough data in Ireland on young people's feelings about these issues. And I think that should be added to our next survey. We need to know more about this. But it's not a reason, as far as I can see, for the acute presentations.
Okay. Another listener says, there is not enough support for teenagers. And if they're distressed, they're being advised to go to the A&E because there will be a psychologist on call to get them into the system. This is a ticking time bomb of mental health issues after COVID, which has now gone off. There is a need to have a nurse in every single school in the country to deal with mental health and provide support from the start. Would you comment on that?
It's an interesting issue. Just one correction is there will be psychiatrists on call in the emergency department and not psychology. But in terms of schools, yes, I think we need to be careful about overburdening schools, but they are a really important place for picking up the early signs. Teachers, as well as parents, teachers can also detect early signs in young people. And of course, not going to school at all is definitely a red flag. We could definitely do with more counselling and counsellors in schools and links and stronger links between the schools and the HSE, and not just schools, but colleges. I'm also very concerned with young people with that transition from second to third level. And a lot of young people are dropping out in their first year in college. And again, it's very difficult for them to access services and difficult for the colleges to, they can't set up a whole, health team. But, they possibly could have greater links with the services in the local areas. And of course, students move from area to area, so it's hard to access services.
And are there regional disparities then in terms of people presenting with self-harming?
No, we're actually seeing it all over the country, I'm afraid. This is not just a Dublin issue. Now, it's slightly higher in urban areas, what we found in our survey, but it's definitely still an issue in the rural areas too.
And a gender breakdown?
Girls seem to be, unfortunately, suffering more. We did find that in our survey, quite dramatic differences. Girls, as I say, up to 30% of them meeting criteria for mental health problems. Boys, between 10 and 13%.
Do we have any ideas to why that is?
My hunch would be social media could have a lot to do with it. And the way that the girls and boys use social media is quite different.
Professor Cannon...
Eating disorders are also a big issue for young women. And I think we need to focus a lot on that. We're seeing, again, huge increases there.
My goodness. I spoke with a very experienced teacher over the Christmas holiday period, and he was telling me about a meeting all the staff have in his particular school in terms of the welfare or mental health of the student body. It used to be different reasons. Predominantly now, he said, the vast preponderance of difficulties arise from the phone and social media problems, in their opinion. So that possibly chimes what you say there. What advice then would you give to teenagers or parents who are listening to this and maybe may feel they're impacted by some of what we're discussing here?
I think parents need to talk to their young people and teachers too about what they're actually doing on social media, what sort of sites they're looking at, how they're interacting with other people on social media. I'd be less concerned about playing games because that's more of a social activity, and I think boys tend to do that more. But the girls, I think a lot of it is comparing yourself to other people, comparing yourself to, these so-called perfect, hair and skin and body image problems. I think this is getting, and we're seeing more sexual victimization online, and this is something we really need to look out for.
Okay, one text before we finish. I have a child, 14, with an eating disorder, and she's too young to understand she needs help, so won't go to her appointments and can't drag her there, so need service that can come to the house. Our hearts are broken, says a listener.
Oh, yes, it's very difficult. The GP is often a good portal to a lot of services. We're now developing more specialist eating disorder services within child and adolescent mental health teams in Ireland, but there's still only, I think, two out of the 19 that should be funded.
That's an extremely difficult situation, but the GP is a good port of call.
Yes.
But can I bring you two more? As very often happens, Mary, when we discuss this, we have an awful lot of texts to 51551. Let me read two more. I'm not going to ask you to comment on them. We won't have time. But Y in Dublin says, there is absolutely no psychiatry support for teenagers in Ireland. Waiting lists are 6 months plus or are closed entirely, totally left to our own, on our own. Heartbreaking, says that listener. And one more. I'm a teacher, and on our school's pastoral care team, I completely agree that there's an astronomical rise in mental health issues and self-harm among young people. Schools are having to take on roles beyond their qualifications to help support young people. The local services of CAMHS and Jigsaw and community counselling services and the wait lists are so long that we in schools are trying to keep young people supported while they wait for services, and that is a serious indictment of the mental health service in the country.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Thank you very much indeed. It's a very insightful conversation. People can continue to text us to 51551, or you can email drivetime@rte.ie. But for the moment, Dr. Mary Cannon, thank you very much indeed for joining us.